All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, our shiur today is sponsored by Ari Melissa and Scott Gordon in the merit of a refuah shleima for Ruchama Leah Fega Sosia Bas Chava Brindle. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she has a complete and enduring refuah.
Amen.
All right, Rabbosai, so let's begin today the new perek. So it says the Mishnah, again, a lot of interesting Gemaras today. Hakusim ein lahem nazirus. So the Gemara says the kusim do not have a concept of nazirus. Now I will say, kusim means different things in different circumstances. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi understands that kusim is a reference to a ovdei kochavim, refers to idolaters. Shenadru b'nazirus ein nazirus chala alein umutar legalech v'lishnos yayin otam lemesim. So if a non-Jew, if a non-Jew, if an idolater goes ahead and accepts upon themselves a neder nazirus, that neder nazirus is not binding. Noshim va'avodim yeshla nazirus, on the other hand, women and servants, again, when it says avodim, avodim is an eved, is a reference to an eved kinani. So a non-Jewish servant, who again, both say, remember, a non-Jewish servant, when a Jew purchases a non-Jewish servant, that non-Jewish servant undergoes what I call a partial quasi-conversion, right? There is something, there is, therefore, they become obligated in certain mitzvos already from the time that they enter into servitude. That conversion becomes complete upon emancipation. But again, very often that did not necessarily occur because emancipation for the Gentile servant, again, was often discouraged by the Torah. So the Gemara says the following. So therefore, again, Nashim va'avadim yesh lahem nazirus. So women and servants do have a concept of nazirus. They can become a nazir. However, they're not on the same level. Chomer b'noshim b'avadim, but there is a certain stringency that a woman's nazirus has over a servant's. How so? Shehu kofa es avdo ve'ino kofa es ishto. That a master could force his servant to violate his neder nazirus, but a husband cannot force his wife to violate her neder nazirus. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Chomer b'noshim b'avadim shehu kofa es avdo sha'eved shenadra b'nazir. If an eved takes a neder nazirus, yachora bolu chofo lishtos yach. The master could force him to go out and drink wine. Now, we'll say the reason for that is because, technically speaking, the guf of the eved, the actual body of the eved, is kanoi, is acquired, or is owned by the master himself. Aval ishto shenadra benazir, eino yechola lekofa. But if a woman made a neder nazirus, the husband doesn't have the right to force her to violate it. V'chevan shenadra v'shamar la v'lo hefer la shuv eino yachol lahafer. Because we also remember, by a woman, if a husband doesn't like the neder, he always has the possibility to what? We learned this earlier, to annul it, right? And again, if he does not exercise his right of annulment in the window of annulment, then l'maisa again, he no longer, he gave up, he abdicated that right, no longer has the ability to do so. So says the Imam. Katani, hakusim ein lahem zirus. So we'll say, so the Mishnah said that non-Jews, right, Gentiles, do not have the concept ultimately of nazirus. So the Gemara says, mina harimili. So where do we know this from? Where do we know this from? The Tanur Rabbanan, because the rabbis taught, daber al b'nei. So we'll say, remember, what the Gemara is picking up on is the Mishnah just made a statement of hakusim ein lahem nazirus, that there is no nazirus by non-Jews. But the Gemara, of course, the Mishnah did not qualify that statement, although again, it's interesting to point out, no one argues on it, which means everyone agrees that there is no nazirus for an akum. So asks the Gemara, so where do we know that from? The Tanur Rabbanan, because the rabbis taught, daber al b'nei Yisrael. So remember, the pasuk that they're talking about over here is daber al b'nei Yisrael. So the pasuk by Naziru says, "Daber al bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people." So what does the Gemara darshan? Daber al bnei Yisrael, v'lo la'ovdei kochavim. So both said the drasha is Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Speak to the Jewish people," and this is dafka a halacha that is related to the Jewish people, and what, and not to non-Jews, not to Gentiles. Va'amarta aleihem, but you shall say unto them, because we also remember now that va'amarta aleihem is a redundancy, right? It's daber al b'nei Yisrael va'amarta aleihem. Then it goes into isho isha ki yafli lindor neder neder nozir lahazir lahashem. Now the truth is, so daber al b'nei Yisrael, the Gemara says, teaches me that this is a concept that applies to Jews and not to Gentiles. But why does it have to say va'amarta aleihem, say unto them? To which the Gemara explains the rabbos. Es ha'avodim. So va'amarta aleihem, say to them. Dabra al b'nei Yisrael is one group. Va'amarta aleihem means say to what? to another group. Who is the other group that is being included in Nezirus? The Rabos es ha'avadim. That comes to include servants. And it tells me again that servants, that slaves, are not our subject to laws of Nezirus, but are in the parsha of Nezirus. So meaning if an Eved Kenani would want to become a Nazir, he has the ability to do so. So the Gemara says, Lama Likra, but why do I even need a pasuk for this? Ha Amrit, we've already established a principle. Kol mitzvah sha'isha chayeves ba, Eved chayev ba. But we already have a previously established principle that any mitzvah that a woman is chayev in, ultimately, an Eved is chayev in. And as Zabal said, that works both ways. Meaning, what that really is more important is about the Ptur. That just as a woman is exempt from mitzvos, aseh, shazman, grama, time-bound commandments, so too an Eved Kenani is exempt from mitzvos, aseh, shazman, grama. So what the Gemara is asking over here, is this idea that if we've already established that women are in the parasha of Nezirus, then why do I need the extra phase of Amarta Aleim to teach me that Avadim are subject to the laws of Nezirus? Take a quick look at Rashi. Ha'amrit, the Meseches Kiddushin, Kol Mitzvah Sha'isha Chayav Espa. The Gemara in Kiddushin says any mitzvah that a woman is Chayavin, the Chayvan Sha'isha Chayav Espa Nezirus, Kiddushiv Isha Isha Istrabaluhu Nami Avadim. So what says here the Kasha? You're telling me Dabra B'nei Yisrael teaches me that Nezirus only applies to Jewish people and not to Gentiles. And Va'amarta Aleim comes to include Eved Kenani. Why do I need Va'amarta Aleim to include Eved Kenani? Very simple. I'll just simply say that's what? And since a woman is subject to the laws of Nezirus, therefore by definition, Eved Kenani is as well. I don't need Va'amarta Aleim. To which the Gemara says, Amarava, Rava says, no. Shiny Hacha, you need another drasha to include Eved Kenani, and I'll tell you why. Shiny Hacha, this case is different. The Amarkra, because the Pasuk says, Le'esar Isar al Nafsho. The Pasuk, when speaking about generally nedarim, this is ki ish ki yidar nedar l'Hashem o yishava shvua le'esar isar al nafsho, to prohibit something on his, literally on his soul. B'mi shenafsho kinuyalo. I would have thought that in general the laws of nedarim, of which nazir is a part, only apply to who? Someone who could be oser iser al nafsho. Someone who goes ahead and can prohibit something on his nefesh, which means, Rata Bosai, someone b'misha nafsho kinuyolo. Someone who, so to speak, owns himself. Yatza eved she'ein nafsho kinuyolo. But Rabbi Bosai, an eved kenani is different because an eved kenani is the property of his master. Ho'ilvei nafsho kinuyolo. Since he does not own himself, so to speak, I would have said, Ema Nazir, Gema Gabi Nazir, Namilo. I would have said that different, perhaps. He does not have the ability to make an Ed Nazirus. So we'll say, see what's happening over here? What the Gemara is saying is like this. You see, I would have thought that since when it comes to Nadarim, the general portion of Nadarim, the Lashon the Torah uses is Le'esar Isar al Nafsho, to prohibit something on your soul, on your body, on your person. The laws of Nadarim, Nazir being a part of that, only apply to someone who owns themselves, so to speak. But someone who is not, someone who cannot say nafsho, that I own myself, that I'm in control of myself, ultimately perhaps is not in the parsha of Nedarim at all, and therefore can't become a Nazir. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, that what? Kamash Malon, therefore the Pasuk says, Va'amarta Aleim, to go ahead and teach us that Havamin is incorrect, and that Avadim are indeed in the parsha of Nezirus. Amar Mar. So the Gemara goes right to Dabra b'nei Yisrael, velo la'ovdei kochavim. So Moses, let's go back for just a moment. So now what we've established is that what? That Dabra b'nei Yisrael teaches me that the laws of Nezirus apply to Jews and not to non-Jews. And the extra phrase of Amar Talem, speak to them, means another category that's being included in Nezirus, and that's who? That's Avadim. Aye, but why aren't Avadim automatically included once women are included? Because Lemaisa, again, since by Nedarim it has the lashon of Laser Isra al Nafsho, I would have thought only someone who owns Nafsho, but someone who's not in control of themselves, doesn't own themselves, is not subject to laws in Nedarim. Kamash Malon Va'amar Talem tells us that Avadim are also included in Nedarim. Fine. Now we're going back a little bit. So you told me, says the Gemara, Amar Mar, Dabra B'nei Yisrael V'lo Lo'ov Dei Kochavim. So you're telling me now that the way we know that a Gentile is not part of the laws of Nazirus is because of the phrase Daber al Bnei Yisrael, that's an exclusionary phrase and only means Jews and not non-Jews. The Gemara says, is that true? Is that true every single time the Torah phrases something as Daber al Bnei Yisrael? It only applies to Jews and not to Gentiles. Vaha gabe erchin. But I will say, what about the laws of erchin? Now remember, what are the laws of erchin? The laws of erchin is an erech vow, is that a person could go ahead and pledge their value to the Beis HaMikdash. Now remember, the way it works with erech vows is that the Torah goes ahead and gives objective amounts. So if you're you know, 20 to 50 non-smoker, where's Aryeh? All right, again, am I getting this right? 20 to 50 non-smoker, you get your rates are. Right, so the idea over here is the Torah gives objective values. For so men have one value, women have another value, children have a different value. So we'll say, listen to this. When it comes to Erechin, Dichsev Dabra b'nei Yisrael. So the pasuk says, Dabra b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta aleim, ish kiyaf, I'm reading the wrong pasuk. Yeah, Dabra b'nei Yisrael, v'tanya, Bnei Yisrael ma'arichin, ve'in ha'ov de'kochavim ma'arichin. So we learned in a Braisa, interestingly enough, that this teaches us that only a Jew can make an erech vow, but a non-Jew can't make an erech vow. Yachol lo yunerach. I will say now, I might have thought, therefore, a Gentile could also not be subject to the laws of an erech vow. Meaning, let's say, my Gentile neighbor is having a important occasion. I want to make a donation to their honor. So I decide to make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash in their honor. So I want to go ahead and pledge the value of my Gentile neighbor, Joe Smith. So I might have thought that, therefore, again, the same way that Joe, the Gentile, can't go ahead and make an erech vow, he also can't be the subject of an erech vow, to which the Gemara says, Tamu lomar ish. The pasuk therefore says, ish. The Gemara says, ish is a general term that means what? All people, that as much as it's only Bnei Yisra that can make the erech vow, Anyone could be the subject of an erech vow. Because remember again, an erech vow is you're pledging the value of a particular individual. So as much as the ability to make the vow is limited to Jews, but the ability to be the subject of the vow is Jew and Gentile, like based on what? The general amorphous term of ish, to which the Gemara says. So why is this important? So you see over here that as much as the section of Erchin has Daber el Bnei Yisrael, that the laws of Erchin are not limited to Jews. So this goes ahead and this challenges what we said before, because before the Gemara wanted to say, anytime it says Daber el Bnei Yisrael, that automatically means that these concepts apply to Jews and not to Gentiles, to which the Gemara says, so this case is different, meaning this case being Nazirus. Nazirus is different. Why? Meaning, how do we know that a Gentile... So therefore, again, we actually need to find now an alternate source to teach me that a non-Jew can't become a Nazir. So where do I know that from? So I'll say it's different over here because the pasuk by Nazirus says that he may not become Tame for his mother or his father. Therefore, what do we see from here? So you see from here, it only applies to someone who has a legal relationship with their parents. This comes to exclude a Gentile that doesn't have a legal relationship with his father. So the Gemara says, Lamai, what are you talking about? Meaning that's not true. What do you mean that a Gentile doesn't have a legal relationship with his parents? If you want to say they were talking about a legal relationship in terms of inheritance, so that's not true. There is a relationship, a parent-child relationship by inheritance, even by non-Jews. That in fact, a non-Jewish son inherits his father from a biblical level, because what does the pasuk say? Ki Yerusha le'Esav nasati es har seir. Because literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have given to Esav as Yerusha, as an inheritance, har seir. So the Gemara understands what that means, is that the laws of inheritance on some level apply to Gentiles on a biblical level as well. So what does it mean when the Gemara says over here that only someone who has a relationship with their parents, Ela b'misha musra kibut aviv. So the Gemara says, rather, the only person who is in the parsha of Nazir is what? Someone who is commanded regarding honoring of his parents. Now, this is actually quite interesting as well. If you take a look at Tosos for just a moment, so Tosos says, Mishem Musra al kibud av, aval ove kochavim lo musar. So Tosos says that a non-Jew is not commanded, is not obligated, bless you, in kibud av va'emin, honoring parents. I will say, if we have time, I'm going to come back, I'm going to share with you an amazing piece on this. Because this sounds strange, because often we assume that that Gentile nations are bound by a normative code of interpersonal human conduct as well, which would require honoring of parents. So we'll come back to this. Tosis clearly says that there is no mitzvah of kibud av va'emin from a Gentile to his parents. We'll come back. So the Gemara says that, oh, so good, good. If we have time, I have a rivan that I want to share with you. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, but one second. Miksiv kabides avicha gabi nazir. So also remember, so look what the Gemara is trying to do now. The Gemara is trying to say that by nazir it says, la aviv uli imo lo yitama, that the nazir can't go ahead and become defiled, even if it could become tame, even if his parents die. So the Gemara is suggesting, based on that, who could become a nazir? Only the kind of person who is obligated in kibud av va'em. So the Gemara says, where do you get that from? There is no mention. All the Torah talks about by nazir is tuma. Torah doesn't talk about kibud av va'em. El miksev kabinas avicha gabi nazir. Elo omakra lo avivu limo. So rather, when the pasuk says to his mother, to his father, lo yitama, b'mishi yesh lo tuma. Who Rabosai is in the parsha of nazir? Only someone who is subject to the laws of tuma. However, Amud Beis, Yatsa Oved Kochavim She'ein Lo Tuma. This comes to exclude the fact that the pasuk says that he may not become tamei to his mother and his father if they die. Indicates that only a person who is subject to the laws of tuma can become a nazir. But an Oved Kochavim, a non-Jew, a Gentile who is not subject to the laws of tuma, is not in the parsha of Nazirus. Sa'ai asks the Gemara She'ein Lo Tuma Minalan Delaslu. How do you know that? The Gemara says, So how do you know that an Ovei Kochavim is not subject to the laws of Tumah? Meaning, where do you know that from? Do Amakra, the Ish Asher Lo Yitama Velo Yischata. Because I will say, the Pasuk says, the Ish Asher Yitma Velo Yischata. V'nichrasa HaNefesh Shahi Mitoch HaKal. So we'll say, what is this Pasuk talking about? This is talking about an individual who was tamei. V'lo yischata means, and he did not become tahar, and then he enters into the Beis HaMikdash without undergoing a purification process. I mean, he enters into the Beis HaMikdash while tamei. The halacha Rabosai for entering the Beis HaMikdash while tamei is kares. So the Gemara says from here, yatsa zeh, so mitoch hakal, b'mi sheyesh lo kal. So we see again, who is included? Who ultimately is included in the laws of Tumah? For someone who has a kahal, someone who is part, ultimately, again, of Kal Yisrael, part of the nation, Yatzazeh She'in Lokal. However, it comes to include this Gentile, who is not part of the Kal, to which the Gemara says, so now we're proving from that a Gentile is not subject to the laws of Tumah. So Gemara says, Mimai, I don't understand why you say that. Dilma Karesu Dilma Mechayiv, Aval Itmuye Mitmu. So the Gemara makes an interesting suggestion. Maybe it's like this. Maybe the non-Jew is just not subject to the penalty of kares, but the non-Jew is still subject to the laws of tumah. Meaning, maybe kares is a din, because remember, the Gemara is picking up on that word, hakal, but kal is v'nichrisa hanefesh ahi mitoch hakal. So maybe the din of kares only applies to someone who's part of the kahal, but the din of tumah applies to everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. To which the Gemara says, no. Amakra, v'hiza hatar al hatame. The pasuk says, again, literally, the tahar one will go ahead and sprinkle upon the one who is tame. The Gemara understands that there's a linkage between these two concepts. Kol sheyesh lo tara, yesh lo tuma. The kol she'ein lo tara, ein lo tuma. It will say, any person who has tara, the concept of tara is the concept of tuma. Any person who doesn't have the concept of tara doesn't have the concept of tuma. So the Gemara says, one second, ve'ima, taru hu delo havile, tuma havile. Well, maybe not. Why can't we say that there's the possibility, Rabosai, that maybe a Gentile could have a state of tuma without having a state of tara? Meaning, again, maybe in Achinami, maybe ultimately tara is only achievable by a Jew, but perhaps tuma is a state in which a non-Jew could be. To which the Gemara says, Amikra, the pasuk says, V'ish asher yitma v'lo yischato. bless you. The pasuk says that a person who will become tamei and does not become tar. So we'll say, what's the drasha over here? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi's pretty much right across. This is like a bonus when Rashi's right there. Amar kra, ish asher yitma v'lo yischata, iskish tuma latara. Am I skipping over here? Yeah, okay, good. So listen to this. The tarvaihu tuma v'tara kamishta b'chad gavra. V'hacha mashma. So, bros, listen to this. The pasuk says, "Ish ashari lo yitma v'lo yischata." So, the Gemara understands that the pasuk is referring to tuma and tara within the same person. The tarvayu tuma v'tara kamishtaya bechad gavra. That when is a person subject to the laws of tuma? Only when they're also subject to the laws of tara. V'hachi mashma kol mi she'ein lo tara ein lo tuma. Whoever does not have the ability to reach the state of tara also is not subject to laws of tumah. For oved kochavim hoil ve'ef shalom b'tara ain lo tumah. And therefore, because we have demonstrated that oved kochavim can't achieve a level of tara, ultimately he's not subject to the laws of tumah as well. Which Rabbah says, so if you think about it, at the end of the day, is a very logical argument. Tumah and tara are two sides of the same coin. So lemaiski, what the Gemara is essentially saying is, if you can't become tahar, then you're not subject to the laws of tumah. Therefore, once we've established that a Gentile is not subject to the processes of tara, therefore, by definition, they cannot be subject to the laws of tumah as well. Rav Achar bar Yaakov Amar. Rav Yaakov bar Acha said the following. He said, I understand, just to keep your eye on the ball over here, so why is this important for us? Because remember, what are we trying to figure out still? We're trying to figure out why a non-Jew is not subject to the laws of Nazir. That's what we're trying to figure out. Remember, first suggestion was because it says, Dabra b'nei Yisrael, for Jews and not Gentiles. To which the Gemara says, well, that's not true. There are other cases of Dabra b'nei Yisrael where what? Where the halachas do apply to non-Jews. To which the Gemara says, you're right. We're learning it out from the phrase, La aviv ulimo lo yitama. That who's subject to the laws of Nazirus? Only someone who's subject to the laws of Tumah. But someone who's not subject to the laws of Tumah, like a Gentile, is not subject to the laws of Nazirus. And now we've just proven that a Nazir is not subject to the laws of Tumah. Why? Because he's not in the parish of Tara. So if you're not in the parish of Tara, you're not in the parish of Tumah either. Fine. Rav Achar bar Yaakov Amar, Shaini Hacha. Rav Yaakov bar Acha said that really the case of Nazirus is different even than Erechin. Why? The Amar Krah, because the Pasuk says, V'esnachaltem osam livnechem acharechem. Because the Pasuk says, literally, you shall give them over. V'esnachaltem, I guess, you shall cause them to be inherited to your children after you. So we'll say, remember again, this is talking about Eved Kenani. That Eved Kenani is property to the Jewish master, and when the Jewish master dies, the Eved Kenani is inherited by the heirs, by the children of the deceased. So v'esnachaltem osam levnechem acharechem. Kosh yesh lo nachala yesh lo tumah. Rabbah say, whoever has laws of inheritance, whoever is able to bequeath something to the next generation, has the laws of tumah. V'chol she'ein lo nachala, ein lo tumah. And whoever does not have nachala, also is not subject to tumah. To Rabbah say, so take a look at Rashi for just a moment. What's happening over here? Rav Achar bar Yaakov Amar Shaini Hacha. Gabei Nezirus, taima mai im itu lo ovdei kochavim Nezirus. Why is it? Rav Achar bar Yaakov is trying to go ahead and give another reason as to why a non-Jew is not in the parish of Nezirus. So says Rav Achar bar Yaakov, why is it that a Gentile is not in the parish of Nezirus? Ksiv hacha, lo avivu limo lo yitema. So it says by Nezirus that a Nazir may not become tummy to his mother and father. V'hasam ksiv, v'snachaltem osam levnechem acharechem l'resha sachuza. And it says, you shall cause them to be inherited to your children after you for an eternal portion. Kom yishiyesh lo nachala, lo horish lebana v'savadav, tiba lecha kasov gabi Nazir. Shiyesh lo avvaim kidichsiv, lo avivu limo yesh lem tuma. V'hani ovdei kochavim hoel ve'ein lahem nachala, kadei lahorish avdol livno, ki dechsev, v'gabim ne'a toshim agarim imachem mehem tiknu. So we'll say, listen to this. What Rav Achar bar Yaakov is doing is a very interesting linkage. He's linking ultimately the avivu li'imo by Nazir to v'esnachaltem osam livnechem acharechem. What's the definition of a ben? Ultimately, who can't become tummy for his parents when he's a Nazir, it's the type of Ben who what? Who could inherit from his parents. But a Ben who cannot, and specifically an Eved from his parents, but a Ben who cannot inherit an Eved from his parents, ultimately, again, is not subject to the laws of La Avivu Limo Lo Yitama. Now, what does this mean? Now, let's say, understand, we just proved on Amud Aleph that a Gentile does inherit from his parents, meaning a Gentile son does inherit from his Gentile father, Divar Torah. However, that will not be true for Avadim. For example, if you have a Gentile family that owns Gentile servants, and the father, called the father Gentile, dies, so ultimately those servants, from a biblical level, do not pass down to the children. It's only Jewish servant owners who pass down those servants to their children. Again, it does not happen from Gentile servant owners. So the idea over here, so if Acha, again, it's a little bit, it's much more of a convoluted drasha than the one we just had before. But nevertheless, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is advancing it. So therefore, again, on one hand, it says by Nazir, La'avivu limo lo yitama. So what kind of son is subject to these laws of Naziris? What kind of son, if he's a Nazir, cannot become tummy for his parents? The type of son who what? This nachaltem osam levnechem acharechem. The type of son ultimately... The type of son ultimately who could go ahead and inherit a servant from his parents. What type of son could inherit a servant from his parents? Only a Jewish one. Therefore, Vacha bar Yaakov says, you see from here that a Gentile is excluded from the laws of Naziros. Ela Amar Rava. So rather, Rava says the following. Bishlam agabe erchin shenemar b'nei Yisrael. So I understand by erchin. By erchin it says, Dabra b'nei Yisrael. Remember, what do we learn from there? We learn from there that Lamaisa again, Ovdei Kochavim, ultimately again, excuse me, Jews can make Erech vows, but ultimately non-Jews cannot make Erech vows. So I might have thought that therefore they also cannot be subject, so they can't be a subject of an Erech vow. Talmud Lomar Ish. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Ish is a general statement to tell me that all men, all people, are could be subject of the laws of Erech Vows. So the Gemara says, Hacha, B'nei Yisrael, Nozir Mevi'in Karban. Ve'ina Ovdei Kochavim, Nozir Mevi'in Karban. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that's what. So maybe let's apply this to here. So perhaps when it comes to Naziros, so why don't we say the following? That although, so remember, so Erchin gives us an interesting model. So what Erchin tells us is, the Dabar El B'nei Yisrael teaches me that the ability to make an Erech vow is limited to a Jew. It's limited to a Jew. However, again, Ish teaches me that anyone could be the subject of an Erech vow. So why don't I make a similar argument by Naziros? And why don't I say the following? Hacha B'nei Yisrael Nozrin Umavian Karban. So perhaps I would say that maybe by Naziros, a Jew, when he becomes a Nazir, undertakes an Edi Naziros and also has to bring concluding sacrifices, maybe the Ovdei Kochavim can become a Nazir, but what? He just doesn't bring Karbanos. The Gemara says, Yachol af lo yu Nazirin klau. Aye, but maybe you'll posit that they shouldn't become Nazirin at all. That's not true. Tawa lomar ish. We have an ish by Naziros also. And if you're going to tell me that ish by Erchin teaches me that what I see, what the Gemara is suggesting is like this. What the presence of ish teaches me is that a Gentile is permitted to go ahead, is permitted to partake or permitted to participate in the particular law the Torah is discussing, just not in the same capacity as a Jew. So for example, Ish by Erchin teaches me that what? That a Gentile can't make an Erech vow, but can be the subject of an Erech vow. So the Gemara is floating the idea. It says Ish by Nazir also. So maybe Ish by Nazir teaches me that a Nazir, a Jew, becomes a Nazir and offers Karbanos for Naziros, but perhaps a Gentile could become a Nazir, but can't offer up the Karbanos of Naziros. I'm sorry? It doesn't need right now, we don't have to make a logical argument. We're making an ish argument. You're telling me that the presence of the word ish is an inclusive statement that includes the Gentile in this concept in a more limited fashion. If that's true by Erchin, why wouldn't that be true by Naziros? To which the Gemara says, Amri, imishum karban lav mehacha nafka. No, that's not true. Meaning, if you're looking for a way to teach you, if you're looking for a source to teach you, that a non-Jew would, even if you want to say that a non-Jew would be included in Naziros, that a non-Jew wouldn't bring the karbanos of Naziros, we already have learned that out from somewhere else. Elamehasam. We've learned that out elsewhere. What does the Pasuk say? Li'ola prat l'nezirus divrei Rabbi Yosef Elias. So we'll say the pasuk over here that the Gemara is quoting is Dabar al bnei Yisrael, Dabar al Aaron v'al banav al kol bnei Yisrael, Amar talein, Ish mi beis Yisrael, umin ager bi Yisrael, asher yakriv karbon l'chol nudrim l'chol nidvosam, asher yakrivu l'Hashem olah. So we'll say this pasuk is meaning, because what does the pasuk teach me? This pasuk teaches me that a Gentile is permitted to offer up a karbon. Right? What kind of karbon are they permitted to offer? An olah. An olah. So I don't need a pasuk over here to teach me that even if you want to have a havamina, that a non-Jew is a nazir, that he doesn't bring the carbon to zeros. I know that already. How do I know that already? Because the pasuk by olah, the word olah teaches me that although a non-Jew is permitted to bring a carbon, he's only permitted to go ahead and bring an olah, praklin a zeros. So therefore, again, let's float another suggestion. Ema. Also remember, what the Gemara is essentially doing over here is challenging the idea. We've now established in two different ways the idea that a non-Jew is not subject to the laws of Nazirus. We've established that already. The Gemara now is going back and questioning that. And the reason the Gemara is questioning that is because of the presence of the word Ish in the section of Nazirus. Because taking the Erchin model, Ish teaches me that although the primary halacha or mitzvah is given over to a Jew, there is the possibility for Gentile participation. Why doesn't Ish by Nazirus also allow for that? So the Gemara is floating a couple of different suggestions. Ema, Bnei Yisrael, Nozrin v'Nazirus Olam. Ve'ina Ovdei Kochavim, Nozrin v'Nazirus Olam. So why don't you say the following? That maybe a Jew is permitted to become a Nazir Olam, but a Gentile cannot become a Nazir Olam. I yachol lo yehu nazirim. You might have thought that maybe a non-Jew shouldn't be able to become a Nazir at all. Talmud lomar ish. Therefore, the pasuk says ish. And I'll also remember again, ish teaches me that's what? That perhaps a non-Jew should be included in Naziris as well. To which the Gemara said, that doesn't make sense. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, miksiv Nazir Olam. Does the Torah ever discuss a Nazir Olam? Therefore, that suggestion is scrapped. I ema b'nei Yisrael medirin b'neihem b'nazir. Ve'ena ovdei kochavim medirin b'nei b'nazir. So we learned this earlier. Maybe the distinction, remember, we're trying to discuss the idea that perhaps there is some level of Gentile participation in Naziris. So maybe the distinction is like this. A Jew has the ability to go ahead and administer a Nedir Naziris to his child. We learned this already. And perhaps a non-Jew does not have that ability. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the distinction between Jew and non-Jew. Maybe you'll say, Yochol lo yehu nazirim. Maybe you'll say, but a non-Jew shouldn't be able to become a Nazir at all. Tamalomar ish. Therefore, the pasuk says, ish, that a non-Jew should be included. Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha hi benazir. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that idea that a father could go ahead and be madir his son in Nazirus is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Let's make another suggestion. Ema, b'nei Yisrael megalchin al Nazirus avihen. Veina ovdei kochav megalchin al Nazirus avihen. Let's throw another suggestion. Maybe, remember we learned this idea, that if the father was a Nazir and had set aside general funds for his Nidre Nazirus, without specifying which funds go to which animal. So we spoke about the idea that the son could then go ahead and use that money to go ahead and we're gonna daven in the main shul. And could then go ahead and use that money to satisfy his neder nazirus, to which the Gemara says maybe that's a din that only applies by Jews and not by non-Jews. Top of Samech Beis, Yochol lo yehi nozrin klal, lo yehi nozrin. Maybe you'll say that a non-Jew shouldn't be able to become a nazir at all time. Alomar ish, right? Therefore, again, the pasuk says ish. Ha itma am Rabbi Yochanan halacha hi benazir. Rabbi Yochanan says no, there's a special halacha l'moshe misinai by nazir. So Rabosai. So again, so therefore, if we bring this all together, so here's what we're left with. The Gemara wanted to pose a couple of different suggestions as to how a Nazir could potentially be involved in Neder Nazirus, and we've pointed out that all of the possible in which a Gentile could be included in Nazirus, and we pointed out that all of these different distinctions you want to draw cannot really be drawn. And therefore, again, we end up right back to the conclusion we had, which is that here's what we're left with. A Nazir is not subject to the laws, ultimately, again, of a Neder Nazirus, right? A Gentile in Akum is not subject to the laws of Nazirus. So how do we know that? So remember, bottom line, the Gemara has given us two possibilities. Either Dabra al B'nai Yisrael, and that means Dafka to Jews and not to non-Jews, or perhaps the more accepted possibility, which is, again, number of different drushes, but it appears, La Vivu Limo Lo Yitama, only to one who is subject to the laws of Tuma, but an Akum who is not subject to the laws of Tumah, therefore again, does not go ahead and is not shayach, or does not have a port, does not have a place in the laws of Naziros. Or the truth is, there's a third possibility, which was the drasha of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov that linked ultimately Naziros to Yerusha. Okay, either way you cut it, the Gemara says the bottom line is a non-Jew and Akum does not have shaychus to the parasha of Nazir. So we'll say, we're going to stop over here, we're going to pick up, but I just want to share with you, I want to go back for literally 2 minutes. I have 2 minutes. So listen to this. So remember again, on Amud Aleph, the Gemara quoted this interesting idea that a non-Jew is not subject to the laws of Kibbutz Avayim. And in fact, Tosa says quite explicitly, Aval Ovid Kochavim Lo Musar, Ovid Kham is not commanded about Kaberes Avicha Ve'asimecha. So we'll say, so again, it's interesting. So the Rivan has a discussion about this, and here's what's amazing, this Hashkacha Pratis, he quotes a Medrash Rabbah from Parshas Lech Lecha. So listen to this. So the Medrash says, "Vayomer Hashem al Avram lech lecha." Because both Avram Avinu, you have to leave your land. Lefi shahay Avram Avinu mefachid vaomer eitzei viyu mechalalin bishem shemayim vaomer vaomrim hiniach aviv vahalach lo leesik naso. So the Medrash says, Avram Avinu was concerned that when God told him lech lecha, he said, "How could I leave? I have an elderly father. I have an elderly father, and what are people going to say? This is the God of Abraham, right? This is the new dawn of monotheism. You forsake your elderly parents, and you just go off on your own." So Avraham Avinu, it's amazing. Avraham Avinu literally didn't argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he said, "Ribono shel Olam, you want me to go lech lecha lekadish shem shamayim." I'm nervous that if I do lech lecha, it's going to be mechalal shem shamayim. So Amar Yechalish Baruch Hu, lecha ani potrecha mikibud avayim, ve'in ani poter la'achar mikibud avayim. So the Rebbe of Shalom says, Avraham Avinu, I'm exempting you. I'm exempting you from the mitzvah of honoring your father, but that's unique to you, not unique to anyone else. V'hainu, techashashi is chalal shem shamayim ayadol, lefnei b'nei doro. So let me just skip down a little bit. V'imkein, mevuar, Noach, Musra Akibur Avain. So the Rivan asked, again, it's a kasha on the Medrash, it's kasha on the Medrash, but interestingly enough, the Rivan wants to say, based on the Medrash, we see from here that what? That the Ribono Shel Olam said to Avraham Avinu, for you, I'm giving a ptur. For you, I'm giving an exemption from Kibur Avain. But what can you infer from that? That other, right, that Gentiles do have a mitzvah, B'nai Noach. Excuse me, that B'nai Noach do have an obligation of Kibud Avvaim. Avraham Avinu had an exemption, he had a patur, but everyone else is obligated. He takes it a step further, by the way. He says, skip down a little bit. He says, I'll skip down a little bit. He says, all right. He says, Amnam, Nira Deleka Shum Plukta Bazeh. He says, the Choma Shekasav Begimara De'ena Mutsuazeh. But there's another piece to this, which is that the Rivan points out that B'nai, part of Mitzvah's B'nai Noach is what's called a Mitzvah's Sichlis. Mitzvah's Sichlis means anything that's intuitive, that's logical, it's intuitive, even if it's not one of the explicit Shem Mitzvah's B'nai Noach, a Ben Noach is still obligated in it. So if there's two kashas the Rivan is asking. Number one, honoring your parents is a mitzvah sichlis. So why wouldn't, it's illogical, so why wouldn't the Ben Noach be obligated? Furthermore, again, the Medrash says explicitly, again, as much as you could bring a kasha from halacha from the Medrash, but again, the Medrash says explicitly that Kadosh Baruch Hu is exempting Avraham Avinu, and the infant Avraham Avinu is a Ben Noach, right? He's not, Avraham Avinu is not the first Jew. There's no Jews until Har Sinai. I'm sorry? He kept the Torah, whatever that means, right? Whatever that means, not as a binding system, but whatever it is. So the Maisa, again, we'll talk about that tomorrow, about Avraham Avinu and Torah. So the idea over here is, so that why wouldn't the non-Jew be obligated? This is what the Rivan says, it's amazing. He says, Amnam Nira Deleka Shum Plugta. So he remember what he's saying, and this, you're not going to hear this often, there's a Machlokis, Tosos, and Medrash, right? So what's Machlokis? Says Rivan, there's no machlokes. Listen to this. The choma shekasa begimara de'ina mitzuva alze. Haynu she'in tzorech lechabed la'aviv v'imo ki Yisrael. Kigon, la'achilo, u'la'ashkoso, u'la'habisho kibikidushin. Ayin sham. U'me'idach ma shekasa be'yishtzaba de mitzuva alze. Haynu da'al koponim asrlo levazoso. Both say, listen to this. There are different forms of kibud avvaim for Jews and non-Jews. A Jew is obligated in a heightened level of kibud avvaim. Namely, not only can I not disrespect my parents, and not only must I go ahead and give them what we'll call behavioral forms and demonstrations ultimately of honor, but I'm obligated to make sure that they're fed. I'm obligated to make sure that they're clothed. I'm obligated to make sure they have a decent place. They're obligated to make sure that their quality of life and their lifestyle is in a good place. A non-Jew, says the Rivan, does not have that same level of kibbutz avayim. A non-Jew's kibbutz avayim is a mitzvah to what? to never, God forbid, to disrespect or to disparage parents. But they do not have the same levels of what's called kumaseh, of actively going out of their way to honor the parents. And he says, therefore, umeidach mashchasa bebeishis rabba dimetzuva azeh haynu da'al kolpanim aser lo levazos lezalzol bo. And he goes on to explain v'chein heichadim lo yichabidos v'lo yideh atrachav dichashiv lezalzol kabul dar mavinu dimashit. So this is what dar mavinu concerned about. Mavinu was concerned about that lamaisa, again, if I leave now and I don't take care of my father, is that not a zilzul? Is it not a degradation to my father? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's a good kasha, but I'm exempting you. He says again, so Ivan makes an incredible distinction. So first of all, again, he explains, and therefore, Tosus is not arguing. When Tosus says, an Ovid Kochavim is not commanded, or not obligated, it means that Ovid Kochavim is not obligated on our mitzvahs asay of Kabed es Avicha ve'esim. We have a heightened level of kibbud av va'em. We must make sure not just to only avoid disparaging or disrespecting parents. We have an active obligation to make sure that all of their physical needs are met to the point where we'll say, you know, there's a machlokis in the Gemara as to whether or not who's obligated to pay for that, right? Does that money to care for my parents come from my parents' money or does it come from my money? So Shulchan Paskins, it comes from parents' money. But Lamaisa, if the parents don't have money, so who has that obligation? The children have that obligation. So that's the mitzvah kibbud av va'em by Jews, by Gentiles, by Bnei Noach. The binding mitzvah of kabed es avicha v'esimecha is only to avoid zilzul, to avoid any kind of degradation or disrespect. But there is no obligation to spend their own funds on the parents, and there is no obligation to ensure that any of the other lifestyle pieces of the parents are intact. Therefore, again, Tosas is saying that non-Jews are exempt from the mitzvah of kibbud av va'em that we have, whereas the Medrash is saying that Avraham Avinu and Bnei Noach are bound by that basic level of kibbud av va'em. All right, so stop over here. So, yeah, well, the truth is, yeah, again, it's an interesting thing that Avraham Avinu was a p'tur. It was a p'tur, you know. That was earlier on. Come on, forget about that. We don't hold grudges in families.
I thought that's kind of the reason you stayed away.
No, because remember, the Gemara says, Kishbahu says to Terach, to Avraham Avinu, V'ata tava al avosecha b'shalom. When you die, you're going to be buried with your father. So everybody asked, but his father was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, to which the Gemara says, Terach did Shuvah.
But Noach's kid got in trouble for looking